episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. The Blue Toon Podcast is sponsored by Marcos Chippa. I'm Colin Byers, and with me as usual, still socially distant of course, is Martin Smith. Martin, how are you?
Very well, thanks Colin. Yourself?
Not too bad. Right, this week we'll be looking at the recent friendly results. We'll have an in-depth look at Peterhead's business in the transfer window so far. And we'll be reviewing, or previewing I should say, the Betfred Cup, which is due to start next week. But first, we're going to have a look at the big news from last week and how it's going to impact Peterhead and I guess the rest of the league as well. We've sort of gone into lockdown 2.0, shall we say. And it kind of means that how that's going to impact football is that we're not going to have fans in the beginning of October, which we might have had a chance of having that a couple of weeks ago. That is now going to be pushed back by a couple of weeks. Big impacts on the clubs, not just Peterhead.
Yeah, I think we spoke last week, and I think I said at that point that the decision to allow Ross County and Aberdeen to have 300 fans inside their stadium, although it was, by all accounts, well done by both clubs, in my opinion, was a strange one. We all want to get back to watching football, but we've got to do it safely. The fact that now I think it's got to be, in my opinion, I don't think we'll get back to watching football this year. I think it could. They're expecting, or they're going to try and anticipate that there could be a spike again going into winter. That's something they're trying to avoid. So I think for spectators getting back into stadiums, we could be into next year, which, as you've just rightly touched on there, it's got to have a massive implication on not only clubs in League One and Two, but I think certain Championship clubs as well. You know, even Premier League teams, you look at the smaller based clubs in terms of getting fans in, your Kilmarnocks and your St Mirren's, Hamilton's. I think they would have thought they could survive for part of the season. Would they survive maybe potentially a full season with no fans? I know that's been touched on in some sectors as well. So it'd be a worrying time for most clubs in Scotland at the moment, I would think.
I'm still the internal optimist that we might get back before the tail end of the year, but it is looking more and more unlikely. What's the most frustrating thing is for us, not just as football fans, but as sports fans as well, is that you can see different sort of sectors are allowing people back into arenas, if you like. But for some reason, football and sport in general seems to be kind of almost guinea pigs, if you like. And that's really, really frustrating.
Do you potentially think that because of the Aberdeen and Celtic incidents, shall we say, at the start of when football did come back, without getting it too much into politics, do you think that could be a reason why there's an issue with allowing football fans in? You've maybe seen it in social media, on Twitter and Facebook and whatnot. I think is it rally cars or stock cars? They're allowed to be outside and there can be people inside the ground to watch it. I think there's a football club tweeted as well this week that you can't watch the game, but if you go to the pub next door, you can be inside 2 metres apart and you can watch it on a stream. You know, it seems a little bit daft. I just wonder whether the incidents with Aberdeen and Celtic is maybe playing a part in it as well.
It probably hasn't helped. Let's put it that way. I think that if you're going to get too political, you could go down the line of it being too political and saying that obviously football is not everybody's cup of tea. However, these clubs, most of them are community clubs. They are clubs that that only survive because of the community, and the community in turn sort of survives because of the football clubs. A lot of these are probably going to, unfortunately, go by the wayside, if not this year, maybe in years to come. But it just seems a bit backward that we're allowing so many people to go into pubs and things like that, but yet we can't stand outside and watch a game of football.
I think we have seen it in Germany. Fans are allowed back into stadiums. I think I've been seeing something this morning about Italian spectators are allowed back in to watch some of the games in Serie A and Serie B. I think they've restarted, so it's disappointing that we can't get back. I don't think it'll be any time soon, I personally think it could be after the turn of the year that we get back, but fingers crossed that we can get back sooner rather than later.
What we need to do is we need to be supporting our clubs. And if you're, you know, we're obviously Peterhead fans, if you're listening to this and you support any other teams locally, whatever it is, you need to be supporting your clubs. So if your clubs are offering sort of raffles or 50-50s, get out there, buy the merchandise. If you haven't got your season tickets, get your season tickets. I know you might not get the games, but they will be offering you other things. So anything that you can help with, you need to do. You will still be supporting your club, you will still be supporting your team, but you'll just be doing it in a slightly different way. And they will need you more now than you actually think they'll need you.
Like you said, I think it's even more crucial now than what it has been in many, many years to help where you possibly can financially support your club, whether it be Peterhead or, as you said, other people's clubs as well.
Because if we don't get back this year, we would like to get back to a club next year. That's the thing, because, as I said, there's a real possibility that some clubs won't be there next year. That would be unfortunate.
I don't think that when football went into lockdown in March, that many people would have predicted, as we record this in the end of September, that spectators wouldn't be back. I think everybody, hindsight's a great thing, but I think a lot of people thought if they closed down football for a couple of weeks, it might help. And then it became apparent, you know, the season wasn't going to get concluded. And we thought, hopefully spectators will be back August. And here we are in the September and there's still no daylight at the end of the tunnel yet.
But what we should also be doing as well is we should have just sort of be standing back and letting the authorities just sort of walk over us. We should be making a stand at them. Already we've probably seen the let fans in, let us in kind of hashtags on social media. So as many people as we can voice our concerns and just and get, you know, if you want to mention the SPFL, tagging them in, Nicola Sturgeon, Jason Leach, all that kind of guys. These are the guys that will make the decisions.
Absolutely.
I also think as well, and I'm on the cusp of a rant here, I think, but I also think as well as Neil Doncaster could be doing a hell of a lot better a job for standing up to essentially the people he works for, because I don't think he's taking a stand properly. I think he's just accepting what the government is saying, whereas he should be a bit more proactive. Having said that, this is a guy who's, I read somewhere, that is earning more than what Nicola Sturgeon and Boris Johnson does, and he can't even get a sponsor for the league this season or even for the Scottish Cup. So to say he's not doing what he should be doing for the 42 clubs shouldn't come as a surprise.
Would that be the same Neil Doncaster that appointed Anne Budge to do the league reconstruction?
You've mentioned that again this week.
Yes. Not going to go into a rant about that. We'll leave that.
But yeah, because he's not as been as proactive or as seen to be as proactive, he is letting a lot of people down.
A lot of livelihoods at stake.
Oh, yes.
Like you said, a lot of clubs or certain clubs could really go at the wall. And I think Neil Doncaster, as you've rightly touched on, could be doing a heck of a lot more to support these clubs. And hopefully, with as you said, the hashtag on social media, that is something that can build a bit of momentum over the next coming days and weeks, and we can hopefully get back to football soon.
I mean, social distancing could be easily done in grounds like Balmoor and grounds across the country as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, you're expecting, you see people taking holidays abroad, which, you know, then I get me started on that, but you've got about 200, 300 people on a plane crammed into this flying tube, if you like, and yet we kind of hate 200 folk into watch a Peterhead game.
Do I detect that you're not happy about people going on holiday?
I'm not happy about that at all. Why would you go away on a pandemic? You know there's a global pandemic, and then you get these people who have to go to Spain, having to leave a holiday. No, you didn't. Just bide it here. Scotland's a beautiful place.
Other countries aren't available.
Just go. Well, are they though? That's the problem.
You have to quarantine for 14 days when you come back.
Right, exactly. You know, you take a 2-week holiday to Spain and then you have to quarantine when you come back again. That's 4 weeks off your work. Come on. Get a grip. Anyway, that's my two.
On a lighter note.
On a lighter note, we should, as I said, we should be positive. We should, as I said, the message that we're trying to get out there is we support the clubs, do what you can. Whatever Peterhead or whatever club you're supporting are doing to try and raise funds, because that's what we'll do. Because the funds that you would be possibly spending at these particular games is all you need to spend. We're not asking you to spend hundreds of thousands of pounds. If everybody does it, that'll be it's all you need to do. And a lot of the clubs will have streaming available as well. Peterhead's obviously just announced that theirs as well. £10 a pop. Yeah. £10 less than what you would pay at the gate normally. So we'd encourage as many people. Obviously, if you've got a season ticket, you're going to get it for free. But if you're a casual fan, £10 is nothing. Even an away fan as well. Get on there and get spending, because that £10 for your day would probably be cost you, what, 60, 70 quid if you were on a way fan come up to Peterhead?
Yeah, a couple of pints of the bars, £10. So there you go. It's when you break it down like that, you're supporting a club, but it's the equivalent of potentially 3-4 pints.
And we hope that, you know, we would do the same. We know if Peterhead's playing at Falkirk or something like that.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
We would do the same as well. So I mean, it's all about I like the phrase, but we're all in it together kind of thing. So
yeah,
and we want to see each other kind of survive and sort of put rivalries to side for the sake of the good, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So with that being said, what kind of team are we going to have going out? Because we've seen in the friendlies, the streaming was obviously introduced last weekend for the two friendlies. Do we read too much into the or do we read anything into the results?
I'll be positive about it, because I think that, believe it or not, there is positive. It's okay, we got beat by Frisbee 2-0. We then lost for Martin. A lot of trialists in those games.
Yes, yes.
And the idea, in my opinion, of the friendlies is to identify which players you want to take forward and also to try and then build up your match fitness. A lot of these players haven't kicked a ball since March, end of February, start of March. So you take everything with a pinch of salt. But we did have, against Fromartin, we got beat 2-0, but we had 22 shots, 13 of them, which were on target. Granted, we haven't scored, but created chances, a lot of trialists on show. In Bruri on Saturday, we had 6 shots on target, scored 3 goals. But the team that played is, I would think, more of a resemblance of what Jim will start the season with.
Yeah.
I think, was it one trialist we had in the squad? The rest of it, as you look through, is players that you'd expect to be playing against Dundee United mm-hmm. in the Betfred Cup. So the positive to take from it is creating chances. Jim has identified players he wants to take and go forward. There is a couple now on board, hopefully a couple more to come in the next coming days and weeks. But that is my perspective of how the friendlies went.
I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head. The fact that the two games against Fraserburgh and Fermanagh were back-to-back Saturday and Sunday. 7 or 8 trialists played in both games, I think. So you weren't going to get any sort of continuity.
Yeah, you can't read too much into them, in my opinion.
No, you sort of take it as it is. It's a case of Jim putting a team together just to kind of see these guys who have probably been recommended to him. They've probably come through sort of development football or have been released from other clubs. They've been scouting about, so looking for a team. Jim's obviously taking them on just to kind of see who they are, what they can do, because obviously he's in the market for players. He's going to need a few more players.
Yeah.
But there was a bit of an outcry when we lost to the Brock, which you can kind of understand. However, if it was a full strength team, and let's say it was in the Scottish Cup or something like that, and we lost 2-0, then I would maybe a bit more upset about it. It was just a friendly.
You've got to look at the context of what the game's in as well.
Yeah.
It was the first game of 2 in 24 hours, so a lot of changes, a lot of finalists on show.
Yeah.
If we, the positive to take out from it is if Jim's been able to identify a couple of players from that game that he thinks is good to take forward, then to me that's a positive out of it.
The real positives, as you said, was the Inverurie game. It was a team that resembled what would probably, as you said, would start against Dundee United, yeah. Barring maybe one or two to come in. Lenny Wilson played again and saved a penalty. Ben Armour scored from a penalty as well. So those are the kind of, we've said before, but those are the two kind of two guys that we'll be looking out for, maybe perhaps having big seasons. So that's going to be a big confidence booster for them going into the Betfred Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. You've used my word. I was going to say it's confidence. Lenny's made a save. He's getting games. Ben Orme as well. We've spoken before. I think this could be a big season for Ben. He looked good towards the back end of last season when he came back from his injury. Obviously, the season was curtailed short, as we all know. But yeah, that penalty will give him the world confidence and hopefully go strength to strength from there.
What was interesting as well was his choice of tactics. It looked as though he was playing a 3-5-2, which is not something you would have maybe expected, but maybe that was because of the personnel that he's got at his disposal. However, for me, a 3-5-2 does two things. One, it allows him to play Ferry, Fraser and Brown as a three in midfield, and it also still means that you can play two up top, which I think is what he's probably going to look at doing. Having lost likes of Stevenson and Boyle, who were predominantly his full-backs from last season.
Yeah, could be a change of formation this season. We spoke when the season first started last season, it would be like a tombola time. You weren't a sure fit team you were getting as compared to the tactic. The fact that quite a few personnel left in the summer is maybe given Jim the almost a clean slate to go, well, this is the players I want for this specific tactic. And it could well be, you know, we are short of numbers at the back. It maybe is a case where he's only going to be playing a back three, so he maybe only wants potentially five defenders, knowing full well that a midfielder can drop back or whatever. So, yeah, like you said, it could be a change of formation, which would be welcome if we're going to get the right results.
But the players at his disposal, you've got like Jason Brown, he probably wants to play as a centre-back, but can play at right-back if needed. Ryan Conroy looks as though, more by default, I think he will be playing either as a left wing back or a left back. He did cover there for Stevenson Paddy Boyle last season.
Paddy Boyle, yeah.
So it's a position he knows because that's where he started his career. So he'd be a natural kind of fit in. So I think that's looking likely how he's going to be playing. So it just depends on, you know, if he is going to play three or if he's going to play four, how much more centre-backs he actually thinks he needs.
Yeah, like you said, I still think he maybe does need a left-sided player, even if it is covered, because I can't imagine him going away to the so-called bigger sides playing a back three. I think he might revert back, sorry, to back four and be more structured. I think the 3-5-2 is fine going forward. It gives you that attacking essence, but it can leave you short at the back. Obviously, you're playing a back three. It depends if he's going to have a back three where you're two almost wing backed rather than out and out wide players, depending on who he puts in those roles.
Yeah, it could end up as a back five, of course.
Yeah, back five, and when you've got the ball, you know, you're encouraging them players to push forward. Mm-hmm. But you know, there is a few new signings, so it'll be good to see them and a new tactic and how they gel together.
There is a possibility as well that if we need cover at left back, Cook could slot into there as well. Not his natural position, but he is a left sided player. He can get forward. Don't know how great he is at defending, but certainly if he's going forward, he can play as a wing back. So again, there is a bit of kind of movement for different positions, but I certainly think that middle three of Fraser, Brown and Ferry, he wants to kind of work his team round about them.
Yeah, I think when you put as we speak, the current Peterhead team on paper, that would almost be your first three picks. Mm-hmm. So if you can build your team around those three, then it's just putting players into them roles. And if it is a flat three, then Jim knows almost exactly what he wants to do from there. So, I, like you said, I think that would be potentially Jim's thinking.
Yeah. And of those that have gone, we did mention there was a few. Eight of the squad from last season have gone. That, by any stretch of the imagination, is a lot. And it's a lot of gaps to fill. And if you look at the ones that have gone, Greg Fleming, Jamie Stevenson, Parry Boyle, Scott Hooper, Cammy Eddy, David Ferguson, Jack Leach and Aidan Smith. Now, those eight could potentially be part of your starting 11.
Yeah, I think when you just round them out, there's six of them there that is your back line.
Yes.
It's only the top end of the pitch, really, with Aidan Smith and Jack Leach leaving. Jamie Stevenson can float in midfield, predominantly playing defence at right back. So, but you know, as you said, they're your starting players. It's a lot of players to lose at the core of your team.
If you look at the clubs that they've all gone to, they've all dropped down divisions. Stevenson, Boyle and Hooper have gone to Kelty. Fleming's going to Stranraer. Eddie's going to Darvel. Leach is going to Stirling. And Smith's going back to Annan. I mean, you could concern yourself as to why they're dropping down divisions, but each individual has got reasons as to why they wanted to move. It wasn't because, I mean, maybe necessarily, I think maybe reading between the lines, I think Jamie Stevenson was probably the only one that it probably was not told to leave, but wasn't going to get a new contract, whereas I think the rest probably would have done, but for other reasons they've decided to move on, not because they wanted to, but because they've had to.
Yeah, I think a lot of, I'd like to think potentially a lot of it would be personal circumstances, whether it be staying closer to family or potentially travelling. You know, that is something, you know, the players will potentially come up the Friday night and they'll stay over and they're not getting back down until the Saturday night. If you're working Monday to, or even say to Friday mid-afternoon and you're coming up to stay over for the game, family time as well, you know, these things will play a part. And it may be just with everything that's happened the last few months, it's refocused some of the, not just football players, but people in general, you know, their current circumstances. So that, I would think, would be the vast majority of the reasons to move.
I know that in Paddy Boyle's case, he's had a change of job over the summertime, so that didn't allow him to have so much sort of travel on a Friday to come up. Aidan Smith, after Hooper and Boyle and Stevenson and Fleming, they all left. He didn't have anybody else to travel up the road with. So
yeah, again, these things all play a part in your decision.
Yeah, but I think, and I suppose a question for you: had Aidan had a decent season, he'd had an alright kind of season, but if he had maybe scored himself six or seven goals last season, do you think he would have stayed on? Or is this kind of him lacking the kind of confidence because he hasn't scored last season? And he's not taking the easy way out, but he's kind of thinking, oh, all right, I'm not guaranteed I'm going to be playing every week.
Yeah, I had to come off guard a wee bit. I was expecting that question from you. I banged on about a lot last October. I thought there was a player there. He had the pace and the rightness. I just think his final product let him down in some games. Had he scored a few more?
Or scored at all?
There, potentially. But with so many players that he would have travelled up with leaving, I do think that would have played quite a big part in his decision to move. And the fact that it's a team that he played at before, had it been, argument sake, a new team that he hadn't got an affiliation with before, or Pierre, he might have stayed, but the fact that it was Annan again, I think, you know, the players leaving and the fact that it was Annan combined together, and as you said, he wasn't a regular starter in Jim's team. Jim's already brought in a couple of Isaac Lane's come in, he's got Derek Lyle, Ben Armour, that we think could have a really important season. If you start to find yourself coming down the pecking order, these things combined together, I don't think he would have stayed.
The travelling on your own then becomes even, or feels even longer if you're travelling up 4 hours just to sit on the bench and then travel all the way back down again on your own. It would probably irk you slightly. You wouldn't have the motivation to kind of travel up if you knew that you weren't going to get a game.
Yeah, I mean, when we spoke to most of the guys over the summer, Dad said that, you know, when they travel up, there is that bit of banter and you know, you get a yap with each other, and it makes the journey a lot less longer and actually quite enjoyable for some of them. If you're travelling up on your own, you know, that would be completely different, especially if you're coming up to Dundee for training on a Tuesday and then you're coming up again Friday, Saturday, family time and everything. So, yeah, it's all things put together, I can see why he's left.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the ones that's come in then. We've already mentioned Isaac Lane, Gary McKenzie, obviously were the first two in. Lane, we think, will be the number one striker, the number nine. Yeah. We've seen today, or yesterday, I think it was, he's been, I don't know about jinx him, but he's been giving it the big licks about he's going to get the goals.
I like that, though. I like a striker. He's obviously got a lot of confidence in him. If he's come out in the media and says he's got to score goals, if he's paid to score goals, that's what he's going to do. We'll be delighted if he gets 10, 15 goals a season, unless the guy's chipping in. You know, I think we'd all be pleased with that.
The only thing is that he, from day one, is whether this is the right thing to do or not, but he is going to be compared to Rory McAllister right from the kickoff, because he's going to be the new number nine. We haven't had a number nine since obviously Rory left. So whether that's fair or not is to compare the two, I don't know. But because it's almost like, it's not a great comparison, but it's like when Fergie left Man United. As soon as he left, everybody was comparing the next manager to, you know, how is he going to fill his boots kind of thing. He has got big boots to fill. He's got a lot of goals to kind of to get. But as I said, I don't think we should be comparing him to Rory straight away.
I think it also depends on Isaac's character himself. You know, he might look at the Rory McAllister situation and go, that is the benchmark that I need to try and be at, or could go the opposite way and he might feel a bit pressure. And as a striker, if you didn't get a goal in the first couple of games, you start to try harder and it actually becomes harder to score because you're trying too much. You don't want to see a striker in the touchline trying to get the ball. You wouldn't have him in the 6-yard box, you know, being there for tap-ins and whatnot. So it could go, you know, one or two ways for him, and hopefully he doesn't feel the pressure and he can thrive.
And Rory scored on his debut, which is, that's all I'm going to say.
Is that you making a comparison already?
I'm just saying, if he wants to get himself off to a good start, he's got to. I'm sure it was a penalty that Rory scored on his debut. But then we've seen it in the Inverurie game. There was him and Ben Armour kind of had a, I wouldn't say an argument, but let's just say that I think Lane let him have that one.
But again, I like that because it's showing you it's two guys who have got major confidence in their ability. That the first thing, there's a penalty, they want to take it. Okay, you could argue and say it's an easier option because you're taking a penalty for it. But these guys, you could easily shirk it and go, I don't really fancy today. But two guys arguing over the bar and want to score that goal. So no, again, I like that competitive edge that the base team hate to score goals.
I like the fact that Ben Armour wasn't afraid to kind of argue with him either, because he's a big lad.
I wouldn't like to mess with him, Mike.
But if you've been keeping an eye on Ben Armour's social media, he's been bulking up quite a bit over the summer as well. So
he's, which is good.
Yes, because we've kind of thought that maybe last season that's what he was lacking, just that bit of that physicality, because he's got the pace, but he just needs that kind of presence now. So obviously he's been working on that over the summertime, or the long kind of off period.
Maybe Derek Lyle's in him in the gym, showing him the ropes.
Well, I probably think so. Gary McKenzie was just the second one in. Good experience. My only question would be how many games he's actually going to play. He obviously didn't play quite a lot last season for St Mirren. He's 34, 35, I think. So obviously good experience. Guys like Jason Brown can learn off him, but whether or not he's going to play potentially kind of two games in a week, I don't know.
At this moment in time, I don't think he'll be playing two games in a week. I think Jim would be managing that pretty closely. It's why I think there could be another centre back coming in. But again, his experience, as you've said, and training and just generally being around the guys could you know, rub off on some of the players. So I think that is it's one of them signings that it's good to have him on the pitch, but I think his qualities off the pitch should help him as well.
It's almost like the David McCracken signing.
Absolutely,
he was brought in at that kind of, I think maybe Clark's was maybe a bit older, but he's been brought in to help along the younger guys, likes Jason and that kind of build their game on a wee bit. So we'll see. Again, it depends on what kind of formation he's going to play, I guess, because he could maybe just slot in nicely in a back three and play.
Yeah, if he's the centre one and you've got the other guy, you know, two younger guys by your side, that could help as well.
You can get them to do other run and he can just kind of...
Pretty much.
The most recent signings, Kieran Freeman and Kyle Bailey, were both kind of... The signings were completed over the weekend before the Inverurie game. Both, again, defenders. Freeman, on loan from Dundee United, a right-sided defender, right-back or a wing-back, whatever you want to call it. I think this is a terrific signing. He's already played in the Premier League for Dundee United. He's been down south in the youth level doing there as well, and then come back to Dundee United. So I think it's a fantastic piece of business. Yes, it's only a loan signing, but if we can get him for a year, we'll probably see... He'll probably be, I'm going to put it to you, he's probably going to be one of the better players in the league next season.
I'll go on a limb here. I'm kind of still leave that to go in the transfer window. I think it could be one of the signings for League One clubs because he is very, very highly rated at Dundee United. Mm-hmm. You look through the Dundee United forums and on their social media when it was announced that Kieran was leaving. There is sometimes when a player leaves a Premier League club and drops down a couple of divisions to play football, there's not that much comments or anything on their social media. Kieran leaving, and there's a lot of comments, a lot of people wishing him well, what to see him, you know, a lot of comments I seen was, look forward to having you back at Dundee United. So they obviously rate him really highly, you know, whether that's the manager, Mickey Mellon. He's not long been appointed as well, so obviously he sees the potential in him, which is why I think this could be a really, really good signing for especially a League One club. I think Championship clubs would have had him as well, actually.
Oh yeah, aye.
I don't know how much interest was going around for Kieran, but I can imagine there would have been Championship clubs sniff around.
I think, and if he turns out to be half as good as the last right back we got for a Dundee club, as in Carmi Kerr, he's going to go far in his career.
Making comparisons again, are we? No, Larry, you're bang on, Colin. I really do think that if he is anywhere near as good, then yeah, a very good player.
I feel like I should be singing the Go Compare. So go compare. Obviously, Kyle Bailey came in as well. He's probably not very well known. He spent a lot of his time in the sort of lower leagues in England. He's recently been playing in Norway. What we've seen of him, we shared a video. I guess it's like a marketing kind of video for himself, and there was one from more recently as well, which I think we should probably try and get on as well. But he looks as though he's a guy who can play in a back three, as we said, or he can play at right back as well. Very comfortable in the ball, likes to come forward with the ball at feet, can ping a pass as well. So maybe a slight sort of deviation from a sort of a normal Peter Head sort of defender, which he would know normally just get the ball and just try and lump up the park as quickly as possible. He's slightly different. He likes to get the ball at the feet and come forward with it, which again looks as though he'd be more comfortable in a back three.
Yeah, again, this could be the change of, formation for Jim, rather than potentially being a long ball or looking for a target man that Rory was. If he's going to be coming out to the back, and they say in a back three would be coming out, but he's got that ability to play through the lines and play balls in. As you said, he played in Norway, which is a good level of country we're playing in. You know, they've got some good players over there as well. Most of the time they get teams into the Europa League or Champions League qualifiers, so it's a good standard over there for him to be playing in. And again, another good signing. You know, we could be sitting here in a couple of months' time. We've lost quite a few games and we're just not defending properly. But I think this season we will be more
organised.
I wouldn't say solid at the back, but I think that mistakes that were there before, I think will be eradicated quite a bit this season.
I think that the problem we had last season, though, was that in some games we should have gotten more out of it by not taking our chances at the other end. But in the same sense, that it's that kind of one mistake, as you said, that it's probably cost us either 2 points or cost us a point or whatever. And I keep going back to it, but it's the Dumbarton game early on from last season when we were 2-0 up and we looked as though we were cruising.
Yeah.
And a lapse of concentration by Jason Brown right on half time allows them to get back into the game, and it's a 2-1. So a 2-1 at half time instead of 2-0 makes a hell of a difference. And I think that just that kind of snowballed onto the second half, and that's the kind of things that we need to try and eradicate for next season.
I think if you eradicate them, you know, when you say it sounds so simple, eradicate the mistakes and take your chances on top. Like every manager will be saying that to your team, and you win the league. But I do think the mistake will be less this season. I think there'll also be a confidence within the team that they aren't good enough to play at this level. I reckon whether that was something that maybe got in the mindset for the Dumbarton game, you maybe started questioning yourself, are we cut out for this? You know, we're 2-0 up at home and we've lost it. Dumbarton, I think they got beat in the Scottish Cup. It was by Aberdeen, just 1-0. You know, so Dumbarton, they were a good side as well. There were a lot of good side in League One. But I think if you do cut out the mistakes, which I think will be less, I think we will hit a good season.
So we're up fingers to, crossed. Well, fingers crossed. Last week we said we only had 13 in the squad. We're up to 15. I think we've mentioned already, but we're probably still short at the back. Regardless if it's a back four or a back three, you still want to get another, maybe one or two defenders in. I think the forward line, Boyd Lane, Armour and Lyle, I think that's probably going to be it.
Yeah, you've got Cook who can play up top as well if need be.
Yeah, McCarthy could probably play off one of them as well, or you know, if we're going to be really ambitious and, you know, play one of them behind a front two or something like that. But I still think another defender or two is needed, and of course another goalkeeper.
Backup to
Lenny, which we hope he's going to be the number one. But you know, we've still got a week to go. Window ends on the 5th, so I think by next Saturday or sort of by this weekend, I should say, before we play Dundee again in a friendly, you would like to think that the business would be almost complete.
I think this is maybe a bit ambitious, but hopefully we can get two through the door before Saturday, and then that way Jim has, he could almost play the team that you'd expect to play in the Bedford Cup in the first game, and that way he's got an idea to see how well they gel and how they get on, whether it be a new formation or not. And then if you have got a couple in, then you're just tying up the loose ends the last couple of days. But I think maybe three coming in, and then I think we would be happy as fans. Whether Jim would be happy with maybe one or two coming in, he only knows.
I think if he was to bring anybody in, either, you know, the Friday night or the Saturday of the game, and just do what they did last week, and just put them into the sort of starting lineup without kind of too much pizzazz or whatever, so well, that's been signed and just got kind of get on with it kind of thing. But as I said, that the team is probably going to play on Saturday will be, as you said, probably the kind of more reflective of the team that will be playing on the 10th at Tannadice and beyond for the rest of the season. So we just have to kind of wait patiently to see if there is any more. We won't have dust off our boots yet. I don't think we're going to get to that stage yet.
No, it was looking quite hopeful a couple of weeks ago. We thought we might have been playing in the back three with us two in it. Nobody wants to see that, really. So hopefully a couple more through the door and we'll be okay.
So on to the Betfred Cup, which is scheduled to start next week. And we were being hastened to say that it is scheduled to start. We'll look at the group that we're in and get your thoughts on that before we kind of speculate as to if and when it's going to start. So we've been drawn against St Johnston, Dun United, Kelty and Brechin. It was pretty obvious that we were going to get Kelty. I think, because half the team has disappeared and gone to Kelty. I guess under normal circumstances, when the draw was made, I guess the chairman would have been rubbing his hands at potentially having both St Johnston and Dundee United playing at Balmoor. That's obviously not going to make a shred of difference at the moment, with no fans being there. Initial thoughts on the draw?
Very tough. I think that is a really tough group. Obviously, if you've got St Johnstone, Dundee United, you've rattled off the teams with Kelty as well. They've a good squad. They've added even better players now. I think we're in for a tough group, but that could work in our favour for the season. If you're playing these good teams, it gets you to a level. So come the opening day of the season at Airdrie, you'd like to think the players are up to a certain level of standard that could go on to have a good season.
I'd like to think that the way that the fixtures have worked out, we've got Brechin at home, and we've got St Johnstone at home, but we've got Kelty and Dundee United away from home. I think the St Johnstone game's on a Tuesday night as well as the Brechin game. Yeah. So I'd like to think that we might be able. I'm saying we should beat Brechin, but you never know. Even if we can take St Johnstone to penalties on a Tuesday night, I think that would be reflective of a decent result. I think going to Tannadice in the first game, because they've already been playing, I think that's going to be very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And again, I think if we were playing Kelty at home, I think our chances would have been better. And I know that saying someone there in reality sort of two leagues below, but I think Kelty is a reflection of how good the Lowland League is. And this new sort of West of Scotland league, how much money there is down there, and they can attract players like that. So I would be concerned playing them at Kelty rather than at home.
Yeah, I also think the St Johnstone game. St Johnstone has started the season well.
No.
I have absolutely no idea if Murray Davidson, I think it is Murray Davidson, isn't it? It's St Johnstone manager.
Callum Davidson.
Callum Davidson, sorry. I've no idea if he's under pressure or no at the moment. I think he's just new into the job, but you tend to find if you die off to a good start as a new manager, you get the criticism. It might be the right time for when the game comes round for Peter Reid to play them. You know, it adds more pressure. Because players, when I want that pressure of them playing at a League One club and having to try and get a win, depending on how the other results have gone. So. The timing of the fixtures could be crucial as well.
That's what I say, because
it's one of them. You want to get a Dundee United game out of the way. Luckily, we've got them first.
Yeah,
we've got we're off the first Tuesday anyway. We're not playing. So the way the fixtures work could actually work to our favour.
You might find though, it depends on how Dundee United and St Johnstone are going to treat this, because obviously the Betfred would normally have been played in July and would all almost been seen like as a extra pre-season games for the Premier League teams. So they might kind of look at it and go, well, this is extra games that we maybe potentially don't need right now, and they may change their team lineup slightly.
It depends possibly as well on the board of the clubs, you know, finances involved. Things are hard for clubs at the moment. There might be extra pressure for teams to get into certain rounds for money. I'm not sure if the grading or the scale and doing of the money is for every round, but St Johnstone are going to get a win the league, neither from the United, so cup competitions is their only real chance of silverware. So you think there might be added pressure by certain boards or chairmen.
And if you think that St Johnstone haven't gotten off to a good start, Murray Davidson as well. Okay, Callum Davidson is under pressure. He may see this as a way to kind of keep his job for an extended period of time if he gets himself a good cup run. So by putting out a strong team and winning, say, his four games or three games at least, then it might give him a bit of a reprieve. So it's all up in the air, and it also kind of depends on how well the Peterhead new sort of team, if you like, gels as well.
Newcastle have done well in the Betfred Cup. You know, with a really good performance against Inverness, obviously, 2-0 all the way to penalty shootout. So the personnel's changed now, but I think that the quality we've added is good. And I do think that we, although in a tough group, if you can beat Brechin on paper, potentially beat Kelty, and then you nick a result somewhere else, like you said, depends how the Premiership teams look at the cup competitions. Dundee United might not fancy it. If you get something at the dice, you know, then you're sitting with 7-9 points, and it's a much healthy position.
Yeah, and I think all of Scotland's going to be looking forward to the Brechin Kelty game for a bit of an extra.
It's got an extra edge, isn't it?
Yes, aye. I think we'll all be streaming. The streaming service for Ayton's going to be
support your local
clubs. Aye, exactly. That'll be an interesting kind of game, see how that one goes. I think obviously Kelty will be going all out to try and win that way. They would try and win that game anyway, you would think, but just giving it that
extra.
Yes, it's exactly it. But again, Betfred, we're more kind of looking at the league as the season goes on. It's not the Betfred Cup's not our bread and butter. It'll be the league.
No, I think it will set us up for the season ahead. The fact that we're playing St Johnstone Dundee United and a very good Kelty Hearts side, I think it will give us that you know, base layer and standard and what we're hoping for going into the league campaign.
Yeah, and that's, as I said, it's supposed to start next week. Games are kicking off in the 6th. Kelty have already expressed a slight concern about the testing that needs to be done, so we'll wait and see. But at this point, present moment in time, it looks as though those games will probably still go ahead.
I would think they would, yes. Obviously, a lot can change. We've seen that in recent weeks, but at the time we are talking about it now, it's planned to go ahead.
It's a week's a long time in football, as I say, but it seems to be even longer these days.
Yeah, with all the changes that's going on.
We'll never know. So I think a decent kind of performances out of those four games. You know, if we get sort of 5-6 points, we'll be doing well.
Yeah, obviously you want to win because it builds momentum and confidence, but I wouldn't read personally too much into the results at the Betfred Cup. If we are playing well, creating chances, looking more solid at the back, and the team are looking like they're starting to gel, that would be the biggest success of the Betfred Cup then going through. Whilst the money would be good from it, I think if we're in a good position playing Airdrie on the opening day, then that would be the biggest success.
Yeah, that's it. That's what we're looking for. Okay, Doc. That'll do it for this week's Blue Toon podcast. My thanks go to Martin for joining me. Our thanks go to our sponsor, Marcus Chipper, and to you guys as well for listening, as always. We'll be back next week, fingers crossed. So we'll see you all again then. Cheers.